Excellent. Very good to be here this morning with all of you, and thank you for braving what's left of the ice to get here. Excellent. Excellent. I want to share a little more this morning with you about hospitality, and we've been looking at hospitality over the last few weeks, how it's making a platform for someone to engage with Jesus, and how it's one of the things that we do, bringing people to this table here, all very hospitable. What I want to look at today is welcoming the stranger. If you like strange people, people you don't know, people who are a little off, you know, whatever it may be. There's kind of a cross-cultural, if you will, aspect of hospitality where if we follow Jesus, allow his character to be reproduced within us and take what he's competent at and start doing that so that we grow in that, we will meet strange people of all definitions and make a place for them to be engaging Jesus and for us to see more of Jesus through them. Now, I want to tell you about one of my favorite t-shirts to just get this started off. I have quite a number of favorite t-shirts, actually, and one of them is one that my wife Carol brought me one day very thoughtfully. She picked out this t-shirt. She had led a handful of tours onto the Navajo Reservation in Arizona and then went on to the Hopi Reservation. And they ran into a white guy living on the Hopi Reservation. And he had been an Assemblies of God missionary. And he went with the Assemblies of God package and went to the Hopi Reservation and tried to get the Hopi Indians to become Assemblies of God. Well, I mean, that was natural. Every denomination did that. We did it with the Navajo over by Window Rock now. The Presbyterians did it in southern Arizona and all over the place. So here's the Assemblies of God on the Hopi Reservation. And he was there just a little bit, and he said, wait a minute, this just isn't right. It doesn't fit for me. I don't think it's the way the gospel should go. So he went back to headquarters, resigned, went back to the reservation, eventually married a Hopi woman, started living amongst the Hopi tribe as one of them, and following Jesus at the same time, and started that way. And Carol brought me a t-shirt to remind me of that story, which says, don't worry, be Hopi. Absolutely right. It's a little beat up now, so I don't wear it out too much. But, there you are. Hopi. Yes, Hopi. That's right. Yes. Now, that's something for us to be considering all the time. For us to welcome strangers, there's something in us that needs to be, if you will, strange. Peculiar. We are peculiar people, is what the New Testament says. Well, how peculiar are we? I had a friend once say that we are more peculiar than the ones we think are peculiar. And that is where we have the platform to reach across cultural divides, all kinds of barriers, if you will, and actually begin welcoming the stranger in the manner that Jesus did. And that takes really a handful of things. I want to look at just a couple of them today. And one of them is communicating. And when you're communicating, you are really getting to know someone. You're listening. Communicating on our part is mostly listening. Your family members have been trying to tell you that for some time, but it's true. It's absolutely true. And for us to be able to communicate what we know, what we've received, what we love, it takes, first of all, a deep, long time of listening. When you meet someone and you think they're strange and they're different from you, it takes a long time to listen for what they love, what they care about, how they would be with other people who care about the same thing, what makes them tick, if you will. And our temptation is always to say, hey, St. Francis, you love it. Come on. We got committees and things, you know. That's our temptation. It really is. They're just like, this is what we're like. You ought to come along. You're like a tip. And Jesus didn't do that. For us to follow him, there is a long period of listening and taking in. And then after we've been communicating like that, there's catching. Catching has to do with what culture are they from? It's not only what they're individually like, but what forms that in them? Why did they choose these things? Why are they formed like this? Why do they like that, that movie and not this movie? Why do they eat this food and not that food? Things like that, all kinds of things like that, where you get to catch where they are in a deeper manner. That's what Jesus does. And when we follow him, that's what we do. And then from there, we go on to, for lack of a better word, I needed one that began with C, catching. And that's where we share, we catch each other. That's what we do with strangers. We catch each other in that way. It's not just we catch them and they make them like, we make them like us. We see Jesus and we catch Jesus through each other. Now, that's what struck me when I was reading this familiar passage of the calling of Peter and you know, the four brothers here, the two sets of brothers. And Jesus says to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Okay, that sounds great. Now, here's the image that probably comes to our minds. This comes to my mind. It's my default image of fishing. You put what for the kind of fish you want would be the tastiest bait on a hook. You put it in the water and hope that it attracts the fish one at a time. I mean, obviously, that's the way you fish, right? Yeah, right. That's how you would do it. That's how we do evangelism. That's how we do church. We just give them the pastiest description of what we do, and one at a time, we pick them off and hope they come. If you would excuse my somewhat cynical description of that. However, what we see in this gospel is, in Matthew as well as in Luke, and everywhere this incident occurs, they were casting their nets. I see. So what do you got to do when you cast the net? Well, you don't put a whole bunch of bait on it and hope that they attract. You go to where the fish are and schools of fish, and you drop the net and you bring them up in the net. Now, that's more than interesting. Because the casting of the net, the actual operation of the net, is a New Testament picture of the way the church equips you and me for the work of ministry. If you take all these stories together, Matthew, especially put Matthew and Luke together and get the details, what we have is that they... Luke just adds another phrase. They were preparing the net. After fishing on, they were preparing the net. So how do you prepare the net? Well, you lay it out on the beach and you dry it out. And then you pick off all the debris and other kinds of things. And then you let it dry out some more. And then you make sure it's all clean. And then you fold it up in a certain way. And then after it's folded, you put it on the deck in a certain place so that when you are out on the water and you see the school of fish, you are able to quickly drop the net to where the fish are. I'm not preparing you to win a Jeopardy episode. This directly affects the way you and I follow Jesus, because the Greek word for prepare the net is the same Greek word for equipping saints. It is the exact same word. So what Jesus was doing was telling these fishermen a picture of the church that they would immediately grasp. follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Well, their idea of fishing would have been as a net, as a community released into the surrounding area to where God was already working to join in with that. That would have been a very small step for Peter and James and John and the others who are familiar with fishing. Now, how does that work for us? I'll describe that, then I'll tell you how that gets the stranger. How does that work for us? We are equipped for the work of ministry by apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. If you look at that in Ephesians 4, you would say the gifts of Christ are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. That means this is going to be very radical. That means you are not equipped for ministry by one person. Not just to be obvious, namely me. If you think that you're going to get everything you need to actually go ahead with the Christian life and all that's necessary to be a good Christian just from me, God bless you with that, and I'm going to ask the vestry to make sure the wind is open, because I'm something. And it's not that I would be unwilling or don't like you or anything like that. I like you very much, and I keep showing up. It's great to be together. The New Testament picture is the preparation of the net to be put into the place where God is already working. It is the equipping of the whole church to do the whole ministry, because it takes the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole community. Now, what's that going to mean for us? That means what we'll do, hopefully, by the grace of God and His empowerment, is to have a team, if you will, a servant team, a leader team, it doesn't matter what we call it, in which there would be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher who are leading together for the equipping function of this fellowship. When that is underway in a deep and rich manner, then what happens is that we become a net released into the community every time we leave the building, prepared to see where God is at work in the community so that those people are brought to Jesus. And Jesus begins adding them to His church. There's one other dot I want to connect. I love this stuff so much that I kind of go fast with it, so I don't want to go too fast. This picture of the church is so powerful and bears so much fruit. It's like the difference between dropping a net into a school of fish and dropping a worm on a hook somewhere and hoping there's a fish nearby. Now, we're going to get to that later. I'm not going to unpack too much more of that. You might have more questions about it, which is great. And you might need some time to think about it. But as we get into Lent, what I want to do is begin unpacking how those gifts of Christ work, because each of you has one. It's your base gift. And the gifts of Christ are different from the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus created you, a And when he created you with a certain makeup, a certain wiring or DNA, as you know. And some of you have an apostolic-based gifting, others a prophetic one, others an evangelistic one, others a pastoral one, and others a teaching-based gifting. And we'll spend some time identifying that, seeing how that works, so that we can begin a rich equipping for the work of ministry, where we become a net in this area for which Jesus has already begun preparing. You remember that Easter story when they were out fishing all night and they see Jesus on the shore? These guys make their living that way, and Jesus, who's usually a bit annoying about all this, why'd you go on back out? I don't know. Why'd you go back out? Just put it on that side. I mean, they'd already done that. They'd done every side, underneath, over top, everything. And there it was. He had already begun. He had already prepared where they would go as a team, as a group. So we'll look at that. It doesn't mean we change everything. It doesn't mean we become stranger than we are or anything like that. It means we begin equipping for the work of ministry. What does that do? That opens the way for people that may be somewhat different from us, people we don't know yet that may be like us, people that God is preparing right now, and if we were to think of them today, they would seem far away from the gospel, but God's been working on them. It means that we have a way to engage with them so that they see Jesus more and more, and we see Jesus more and more through them. It's a very, very different matter than learning how to argue them until they wear out about church. It's the quality of your relationship with Jesus directly and through each other that becomes that which draws people to him, as well as the set of relationships that enables us to grow in him, to understand the word of God, to know we've prayed and got an answer. All those things that we start coming to the table, we start thinking about, well, I heard this in church. What's that mean? It is as we engage together with Jesus in accordance with our base gifting, as well as directly, that we begin to experience the answer to those questions. We come to a place where we know that we know. We pray. Or seen something in the Bible. Or shared. I'm telling you, it's the secret sauce. It's what makes it work. Just like I can't equip you for the work of ministry by myself, you are not able, you're not put together, any of us, to engage with Jesus all by ourselves. And let it go with that. That doesn't mean you stop engaging with Jesus all by yourself. It means you start seeing Jesus through each other as well. And that makes the place for the stranger. The place for the one that God's already been working on. The one whose heart has been broken by the circumstances of their life. And then they meet you, who has been equipped for the work of ministry to the others in the church. The one who has no food or no money for Christmas, and they meet you. And there's something about meeting you, because you have been equipped for ministry with each other, that preserves that person's dignity in that moment. where we know that we, when we've done something to help the least, we've engaged with Jesus and built that least up to the next place that they may be going. In addition to meeting any need. Investing in each other's success in a way that releases the gospel all around. Begin to see that your desire, your growing priority is who's the stranger Jesus is working in. And what does he want me to do? Which is a different priority from. That sure was a clever sermon this afternoon. Love that song. Which I do. Loved them, loved all of them already. Plus I'm enjoying my own sermon here too. My highest priority, guys. It's not going to carry me through the rest of the week to where I see Jesus working in somebody who doesn't know Jesus is working in them yet, and I can add into that because I've been equipped with you together to go and see it. That's what we're called to. That's what we're branded for. So, my question for you is this. Who's the stranger that God's bringing to your mind right now? Or however you like to think about it. The one that's far away, the strangest one, whatever. And what step does God want you to take about that? Please stand. Lord Jesus, we ask that our commitment to you would deepen our commitment to each other, our engagement with you would enrich our engagement with you through each other, and our ministry that we feel you have given us would strengthen the ministry we see in each other so that the stranger may become our friend and the one through whom we see more of you. We ask that today for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.